Welcome to the Hoosier Ag Today Thursday podcast, the latest Indiana farm news, markets, and weather for August 7th, 2025. I'm Andy Eubank. The Hat Podcast is brought to you by First Farmers Bank and Trust, proudly serving local farms, families, and agribusiness for 140 years. They're online, ffbt.com, to learn more. Eric Pfeiffer and CJ Miller have the news today, including talk of tassel wrap in corn as we preview the new Purdue Crop Chat podcast and what you'll find at the Indiana FFA Pavilion this year at the Indiana State Fair. Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin says plenty of sunny, warm, and humid conditions continue. And yesterday, corn and bean markets again went lower, wheat just above even. Tom Fritz has thoughts on the Hoosier Ag Today Thursday podcast.
At First Farmers, we know that farming takes grit. From unpredictable weather to market fluctuations, our farmers face challenges. Since 1885, we've watched them weather those challenges without fail. That's why we're proud to help power farmers with financial products, services, and expertise built around the seasonal nature of agriculture that lets them continue powering our local communities. Is it time to expand your operation? Visit us at ffbt.com or stop by a local branch to get started. First Farmers Bank and Trust, equal opportunity lender, member FDIC.
When it comes to buying seed, you can have your cake and eat it too when you order from Seed Genetics Direct. Finance next year's seed order through SGD Financing or John Deere Finance and pay 0% interest through January 2027. Unbeatable seed quality for an unbeatable price, plus zero interest financing from the fastest growing independent seed company in the Eastern Corn Belt. Now that's a slice of cake no grower can turn down. Seed Genetics Direct, value, knowledge, performance. It's in our genetics.
Tassel wrap in Indiana and fun for all ages at the Indiana State Fair. I'm Eric Pfeiffer, reporting on the latest news in agriculture on Hoosier Ag Today. We've all heard of tar spot, southern rust, ear rot, you know, the typical things that can hinder corn yield potential. This year, though, has brought a new one. Dan Corn Quinn, Purdue Extension corn specialist, says tassel wrap is just like it sounds. It's the wrapping of the tassel.
We often call the flag leaf the first leaf below the tassel, but those upper leaves were staying tightly wrapped around that tassel. And, you know, we talk about pollination with corn is such a critical window and also a really short window. So anything that throws off that synchrony or that timing of either the silks emerging or the tassel emerging can potentially impact pollination.
So what's causing it? Quinn explains on the latest Purdue Crop Chat podcast from Hoosier Ag Today that more research needs to be done, but he has a theory.
I went to some of these fields and where we found it pretty significantly, went and pulled the weather data from those areas. And in both instances where I found it, and they were actually showing up in two separate different weeks, where we had this about a 35 degree swing from lower nighttime temps back up to about 95 degrees, and it was often accompanied with rainfall.
Trying to determine what the yield impact could be is a difficult task, but Quinn says,
you know, you can quote me on this and then it'll be the exact opposite, but I do think it's pretty minor in the state of Indiana.
Hear more from Quinn in the Purdue Crop Chat wherever you listen to podcasts, and be sure to check out the video version of the podcast with Quinn and soybean Sean Castile at HoosierAgToday.com or on our Facebook and YouTube feeds.
Hey sis, how much is a million?
I don't know, but sounds like a lot.
It is. Do you know there's almost 14 million kids, they don't have enough food?
All kids should have the food they need to grow and play.
1 in 5, that's how many kids in America are food insecure, with a significant impact in rural communities. Hoosier Ag Today and the National Association of Farm Broadcasting invite you to help nearly 14 million kids facing hunger in America. Your contribution stays in your community if you donate at nafbhunger.com. If you're heading out to the Indiana State Fair, be sure to take the kids and grandkids to the Indiana FFA Pavilion for an experience with the family that combines ag education with several fun activities. From the Indiana State Fairgrounds, here's CJ Miller.
Indiana FFA President Caitlin Marshesky from Tipton County says there's something for everyone inside the Indiana FFA Pavilion, especially the kids.
So we have our free putt-putt course. This is an opportunity for folks to come and play a round of putt-putt for free and learn about Indiana agriculture as they go around.
They also have their animal wing, which is a petting zoo for the kids to get up close with the livestock that you'll find on the farm.
They're able to get up to the gate by the animals and pet them, and they're able to feed them some grain too. And it's really a great opportunity for families to get really up close and personal with agriculture.
She also recommends that you stop and shop inside their country market,
which houses over 60 Indiana-produced vendors with lots of different products and opportunities there to shop. That market is staffed completely by Indiana FFA members. They volunteer their time to come here. They work on their marketing skills, and they also have the opportunity to make connections with members across the state and share more about Indiana agriculture with customers.
And the best parts about the Putt-Putt and the Animal Wing is that they're free.
We have lots of benches, a place to rest for parents as they watch those kids play here, get a break from being out in the sun, and just have some free play time.
The Indiana FFA Pavilion is sponsored by Corteva Agriscience and is open from 9 a.m. to 9 p.m. Tuesdays through Sundays throughout the Indiana State Fair, which runs through August 17th. I'm C.J. Miller.
And I'm Eric Pfeiffer, Hoosier Ag Today, Indiana's Farm Network.
At Farm Credit Mid-America, we do more than lend. We lift up our rural communities that we serve, too. From our day-to-day business of supporting farmers to our community investment efforts and scholarships for students, we help local rural communities find their next level. Visit fcma.com/community to learn more about our commitment to communities. Farm Credit Mid-America is an equal opportunity lender.
I'm Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin with Hoosier Ag Today's Indiana Farm Forecast. As we take a look at the setup across the Hoosier State, nothing going on here in the short term. It is hot, it is humid, it is muggy. Nobody likes it. It's August in Indiana, so get used to it. We know we were spoiled with the way the month started, and humidity values and dew points are creeping up to prove us correct. Now, as we move through the weekend, we are precipitation-free as well for Saturday and Sunday. Our next round of moisture does not even show up next Monday. Monday features clouds building to our west as the frontal boundary tries to fill in over parts of Iowa, Wisconsin, and Minnesota. But I don't think any moisture breaks through and heads our way until we get past midnight Monday night. The best chance of rain that we have over the next week to 10 days likely comes Tuesday. After midnight Monday through Tuesday, we see on-again, off-again showers and thunderstorms, anywhere from a quarter to 1 inch of precipitation. Coverage 80% of the Hoosier State. Behind it for Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday of next week, I think we can get away with very little additional moisture, but the threat is still there for some popcorn activity. I think it comes down to what kind of air mass comes in behind the Tuesday front. We are seeing signs of another round of cool Canadian high pressure wanting to settle in over the Great Lakes, focusing a little bit farther east, but still in over the Great Lakes. And if that happens, we may see temperatures dial back a little bit for Thursday, Friday of next week, and humidity values pull down. If that happens, less of a precipitation threat. But if we stay in the warmer and moist sector, I think pop-up heat-based thunderstorms are likely through the end of next week. In any case, you get into the weekend of the 16th and 17th. Saturday the 16th is dry. We have a nice little complex of thunderstorms coming through Sunday the 17th, anywhere from a quarter to 1.5 inches of rain out of that. The following week, the week of the 18th, doesn't have a lot to it. I do think that we are warmer and more humid, but steering most of the precipitation to our west and north through that week. I'm meteorologist Ryan Martin.
Corn and beans down, wheat a little higher by the close, but mostly lower through the session. This is Hoosier Ag Today. I'm Andy Eubank with the Wednesday Farm Market Review, and I'll have final numbers momentarily. We begin, though, with market commentary from Tom Fritz of EFG Group. I spoke with Tom at the end of the session. Markets again mostly lower, save for a late minor comeback in wheat futures, Tom. But in corn, lower most of the day, and December going below that all-important $4 mark, although it didn't end there, just a little bit beyond that, higher than that, by the close. Does it make a difference, though?
Oh, I think it does, Andy. You know, $4, yeah, that's a psychological level. So, you know, first time down there, first time through it, you know, the market's justified in a little bit of a bounce. You know, people will be able to go away and say, hey, I bought sub $4 D's corn. No, the problem is, you know, you look at the some of the estimates that are coming out with yield on what's today, Wednesday. On Monday afternoon, Stone X came out with a yield of 188.1. yesterday, an outfit called S&P Global. They're the old Informa group. They came out with a 186 yield. And they said they basically use similar procedures as the USDA uses. So, but I don't think these are, how would you say, boots on the ground into the fields checking the yields. And on this report next Tuesday from the USDA, they don't do it. I don't think, you know, they rely on their producer clientele, you know, answering their surveys. And I also know they rely on satellite imagery. But as far as, you know, getting down into it, we won't have any evidence of that until the Pro Farmer Tour the following week. I believe they are the 18th. I think they start out Monday afternoon, the 18th. And they pretty much go through that following Thursday, the 22nd, 21st. So, you know, I think that's what the trade needs to hear. And, okay, the USDA, they could give us a big yield number, but usually when they do that, they'll try to offset it with demand. And we've had some pretty decent corn demand. But it's interesting, the exports out of Brazil for their second season corn crop, they're rather slow. And the reason for that is they're not really competitive with the U.S. right now. Well, so that's what low prices get you. But still, you know, we'd like to see, you know, some demand from China, and they're just not doing it. They just completed their fourth load of soybean meal from Argentina, citing, well, you know, with this tariff stuff going on with the U.S., we don't know. We don't know. So, you know, they're going elsewhere, and that's a big missing factor that we have here. You know, where's the Chinese demand? So, I think in the near term, the corn market will try to, you know, find some support against today's lows, right around this $4 level, at least until we see what the USDA has to say on next Tuesday. The wheat market flirts with $5 and manages to bounce once again. You know, here's the even dollar mark, and you know, that first time down, you know, provides some psychological support. The September contract in Chicago came within 4 cents. Kansas City came within 3 cents, and both markets had a bit of a bounce. And I think some of the rationale there is we may be seeing some lower wheat production figures come Tuesday the 12th. So I think that's responsible for the bounce there. And plus, history says, well, modern day history, if you will, the last number of years, wheat prices, yeah, they can penetrate $5, but they usually don't spend much time down there. So I think from a technical standpoint, the trade's looking at that. And soybeans, well, soybeans were the weak sister today, you know, unlike the last 2 days where they were the market that was trying to stand in. And I think that's mostly the meal market. You know, the meal market has to look at the headlines that, you know, China has their fourth quarter crushing needs pretty well covered. So that says, you know, what kind of soybean exports to China can we see in the fourth quarter if they've got their meal needs covered? So I think that weighs on the meal market, and that in turn weighs on the soybean market. I'm old school. Soybean, 60-pound bushel. Soybean meal, 44, 45 pounds of that bushel. They're going to go with soybean meal. So, and plus, from a technical standpoint, earlier this week, soybeans balked at the first level of minor resistance, just above the $10 level. They got to 10.02, and you know, they reversed course. Soybean meal challenged the 290 level. That was their first level resistance, and you know, they turned back. So the price action hasn't been very good. I thought 985 would be a good support area for November beans. It was a targeted support area. Based on the last correction we had, the measurement was 985. But if you go look at a November bean chart, you go back to April, the market put in some consolidation type support between 995 and 975. And so far, the November beans are honoring that level. But, you know, once again, there we're over there, we're dealing with, you know, larger yield potential. Stone X suggested a soybean yield of 53.6. That's 1.1 bushels to the acre greater than the USDA. This S&P Global outfit suggested 53.5. And, you know, okay, here we have a higher crop size. And, you know, I'm beating a dead horse when I say we are missing the Chinese demand. So you never know what's going to go on with the White House. You know, he's playing hardball with everybody on these tariffs, China included. So, you know, who knows what's going to come of this. But right now, it's, you know, it's not a, how do they say, we're not seeing a light at the end of the tunnel right now. So markets are just, you know, right now, the big feature is big crops. And what do big crops without big demand say? Lower prices.
Market commentary from Tom Fritz in Chicago. He is with EFG Group. On the Hat Wednesday Farm Market Review, final numbers. September corn down a penny and three quarters, 379 and three quarters. Dease corn went all the way down to under 397. It finishes, though, at 401 and a quarter, down three quarters of a point. September beans, 965 and a half, a 6 cent loss. November down six and a quarter, 984 and a half. And September wheat, 508 and a half, up a quarter cent. The meats mixed. October live cattle up 255, 229.65. Down 82 cents on the October lean hogs, 91.97. I'm Andy Eubank with the Wednesday Market Review. This is Hoosier Ag Today, Indiana's most listened to farm network.